I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, we ask that you would make us hunger for your heavenly food, your wisdom, your righteousness, and your wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. In his name we pray. Amen. Before we had the blessings of having children, I considered myself somewhat of an expert in child rearing. I did what I typically do when I'm about to tackle something that I've never done before. I got the best books on the subject and devoured them. I took a video Sunday school class along with my wife before we even had children. I developed very deep biblical insights about child rearing. I had a real clear course of action, an action plan. But then the day came that I became a father, and all of my tidy little theories and theologies of child rearing were strained to the absolute limit, because you quickly come to realize that children don't come into this world sharing the same biblical theories about child rearing. It just doesn't happen that way. They have a radical different view. Raising children is one of the most challenging and most joyous experiences of life. And it is incredibly, incalculably important and significant to the kingdom of God. If you have children, there is no more higher calling in your life than to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And you say, well, what if I don't have children? It's still incredibly important as a ministry. You'll remember that every time we baptize a covenant child, all the members of our church vow before God as a congregation to undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of our covenant children. It is a duty incumbent upon the church. And of course, organically, I'm led again to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I think of what an important ministry it was in his own life to minister to children, the moving pictures of Jesus ministering to children in the Gospels, calling children unto himself, embracing children, loving children, very countercultural, raising the widow's son, ministering to children. It is an important responsibility that we all share. And we come to the book of Proverbs, and it demonstrates the importance of parental discipline in particular. That's a very important word in Proverbs, by just the sheer amount of attention given to the subject. Discipline is found throughout the book of Proverbs. It's very important to understand what is meant in Proverbs by the word discipline. Discipline has a range of activities. You can almost think of discipline as a toolbox. And within the toolbox of discipline, there are many tools that are included in that concept. You have instruction, you have teaching, you have training, you have correction, you have reproof, you have the rod. In other words, biblical discipline is fundamentally about practically passing along and reinforcing wisdom in a variety of ways. And there's a recognition in the book of Proverbs that all children are different, and they respond to different tools at different times within the toolbox of discipline. But fundamentally, discipline is about disciple making. Making disciples. That's what discipline is. It's educating. So really, in that sense, the entire book of Proverbs is about disciplining the young. How to make disciples of the young. It is the most extensive, I would say, an explicit resource on child rearing in the entire Bible. If you are a parent, Proverbs is an incredible tool. In fact, I would recommend to you, if you're not familiar, this is a resource that has been incredibly helpful for my wife and I. Barbara Decker's work, Proverbs for Parenting, a topical guide for child raising from the book of Proverbs. And Ms. Decker takes a very similar approach to the book of Proverbs that we have been taking, categorizing the Proverbs under subject headings and seeing what the Bible has to say about this and this and this area of discipline when it comes to raising children. It's available in the King James Version and the NIV. You can still get it. I hope at some point somebody would take on the project of editing a copy in the English Standard Version. Excellent resource. Well, obviously, if the whole book of Proverbs is about parenting, we have to narrow our topic for today. And what I want to really focus on this morning is the question of why. Why discipline? And motivations are always important matters to God. And why we choose a particular approach to raising children is no exception. Why is a very important question. Many Christians, I think, make the mistake of bringing a worldly mindset to raising children. We live in a very pragmatic age, and it is very tempting, I think, in child rearing and many other areas to jump over the why question and get to the how to. How do I do this? Now, I'll tell you this morning, God is much more concerned about motivations than just the how to. The why is vitally important. It reveals our worldview, for one thing, and the why also gets to the heart of what is the purpose of child rearing. What are we going toward here as we raise our children and discipline our children and make disciples out of our children? God is much more interested in the use of purpose than he is the use of method. The method should flow from a biblical motivation for child rearing. Now, of course, motivations are complex. In anything in life, motivations are complex. And we can have multiple motivations. And I think there are multiple motivations for why we rear our children the way we do. And I think Proverbs recognizes that. But I want to focus this morning on two primary motivations for why we should discipline our children. And the first is love. I want to jump around some this morning in Proverbs. Let's turn first back to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs is very clear that a primary motivation for disciplining our children is love. And it is most clearly articulated in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24 says this. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. He who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Friends, the world does not understand that. The popular message that we receive from our culture, that we receive from our world, is that we are born into this world on the right track. We are born into this world on the right track, and therefore parents should encourage children to follow their hearts, follow their own way. We provide a safe environment and just let them become themselves. That is a popular view of parenting. That is a worldly view of parenting. And the problem with that is, as nice as it sounds, is Proverbs is very clear that our nature is broken. Proverbs is very clear that we are not born into this world default on the right track. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Proverbs is very clear that we are born into this world with a foolishness inherent in our heart. And you see that in a lot of places. Let's look at a couple more Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? The answer is no one. There is a fundamental heart problem inherent in humanity. Proverbs 22. Verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. According to Proverbs, that's how we're born into this world. That is the default position. Our nature is broken. But the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Doing what is right in your own eyes, according to Proverbs, leads to death. It is not the loving thing to let our children just follow their own path with no boundaries, no discipline, no correction. It leads to death. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Very clear. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. That is very opposite from the world. Very opposite from the world. The message of Proverbs is that if you do not correct their children while they are young, if you do not address this problem in their nature, in our nature, while they are young, they will run amok. The default position is to take the path of death. Children left to their own devices will destroy themselves. That is not the loving thing to do. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Let me show you one more important proverb. Proverbs 29. Verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You leave a child to themselves, you encourage a child to follow their own heart and their own way, it will never end well for the child. It is not the loving thing to do. I remember when our children were young, and, you know, inevitably they would get in a fight over a toy. Somebody had something that the other one wanted, and things would escalate very quickly. They would start to yell and shout, and then maybe some hitting would ensue, maybe even a little pulling of hair at times. Get in and break it up. You ask, where did they learn to do that? I assure you, not one time in the lives of my children have they seen their father or mother hitting one another and pulling one another's hair because one of us had something the other one wanted. They didn't learn that from us. They didn't learn it from watching cartoons. The answer is they didn't learn it. It's called the sin nature. It is the default position that we come into this world in our hearts with covetousness, stealing, lying, slander. You don't learn that. You don't learn that. It is human nature. We all need discipline. We all need correction to do what is right. That's what Proverbs 29:15 and all of these proverbs are getting at. Look at Proverbs 29:15 again. The rod and reproof gives wisdom. Now remember, discipline is a toolbox. And you see that here. These are two different types of discipline. The implication here is that directing and correcting and instructing children over time is going to take different forms. The rod, that is spanking, that is one tool in the toolbox. Reproof, that is verbal correction, that is verbal instruction, that is verbal teaching. It's not leaving a youth to himself is the idea here. Get the toolbox out. It's going to take some work. It's going to take wisdom. It's going to take application. It's going to take trial. It's going to take error. It's hard work. But it's motivated out of a love for our children. Sometimes spanking can be a way to get through to a young child when all of the reasoning in the world doesn't help. There's an ancient Egyptian proverb, a young boy's ears are on his backside. No room for abuse, physical abuse. It is a tool. I would even argue, according to the book of Proverbs, it should be the exception and not the norm, more limited to the younger years, less so as the child grows. But here's the idea. Here's where Proverbs is clear. You got to get the toolbox of discipline out, get the tools and apply them as needed. To not get the toolbox of discipline out itself is a form of child abuse. That is the unloving thing to do. That is to lead the child on the default path to death and destruction. That the main point of Proverbs when it comes to parenting is that children left to themselves will choose the wrong and destructive path. Period. Human beings are not born innocent. We are not born basically good and wise, as the world would lead you to believe. The parental task is out of love to intervene and correct our children's foolishness while they're still in those impressionable, most impressionable years, before it becomes set in to adulthood. If we don't, it will lead to an adulthood, and we all know adults like this: selfishness, relational issues, impulse control problems, the inability to submit to authority, the inability to take responsibility and accept consequences for actions, laziness. Oh, we just could go on and on and on. Leaving your child to make her own decisions without correction is unloving and foolish. If you allow your child to be self-centered now, they will be self-centered when they grow to be adults. You have to say no. Boy, the world cringes at that idea. Tell your children no? Absolutely. Not all the time. But I do tell them no. You have to discipline. You have to hold them accountable. They do not need to get their way all the time. That is not the loving thing to do. I know the world says repressing your children is harmful, but the world is foolish. Proverbs is very clear. He who loves his son is diligent to discipline him. Let me point out a second major motivation. If love is one major motivation, let me give you a second major motivation, according to the book of Proverbs, as to why we should discipline our children. Ultimately, Proverbs demonstrates that we discipline our children because their children's greatest need is the good news of Jesus Christ. Salvation is an ultimate motivation, an ultimate answer to the question of why discipline. It's very important to know our role as parents and our role as a church is not mere behavior modification. It's not moralism. Moralism, as an approach to parenting, will produce Pharisees or it will produce rebels every time. It is not moralism. It is not behavior modification. Our goal is for our children to be transformed from their insides out through the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs is very clear about that. That discipline, that disciple making of our children is evangelism at its core. Look at Proverbs 23. Let me show you this. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. That's salvation. That's viewing discipline as a rescue mission for souls. That's viewing disciple making as evangelism. The idea there is we are to step in, motivated by love, and proactively seek to rescue our children from the path of destruction, that their souls might be saved. You know, I see so many parents, Christian parents, that understand grace as a calling for just indulgent child rearing, never saying no. An indulgent attitude toward discipline is not only unloving, but it has eternal consequences for the soul, Proverbs is saying. Loving discipline shows our children that there are consequences for sin, that there is accountability for sin, and it reinforces in our children the idea that there is an ultimate objective standard of right and wrong, good and evil. And we don't measure up to it. Our children don't measure up to it. We as parents don't measure up to it. Our church members don't measure up to it. Nobody measures up to it. Which points us and points our children to a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at discipline in Proverbs, we see that it is far more than just meting out punishment. It is far more than just moralism. Discipline is an opportunity for gospel conversations. We want to avoid moralism. We want those occasions of discipline with our children to be opportunities to talk to them about the gospel, gospel-driven discipline. Talk to our children. Assure them that our love for them is unconditional, just like God's love for them is unconditional. That we parents are sinners in need of God's grace as much as they are. Just think back every time, or so often, not every time. I wish I'd done it more times. But we tried, and we still try. We discipline our children to identify with them, to let them know, I know what it's like to be selfish. I know what it's like to be covetous. I know what it's like to be quarrelsome. I know what it's like to hate. I know what it's like to steal. I know what it's like to be frustrated. I know what it's like to be angry. And identify with our children and say, that's why I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that is ours, forgiveness for our sins because of the gospel, his death and resurrection. And by extension, I'm so thankful that for all the times that I have royally messed it up in disciplining my own children, Christ offers forgiveness for us parents too. And through my sins, despite my sins, and despite the sins of my children, we turn to him in repentance, asking for forgiveness. He brings healing. He brings transformation. He brings redemption. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of life that we find in Holy Scripture, especially as applied to the sacred duty of raising children. Lord, help us to take to heart that he who loves his son is diligent to discipline him. We ask for wisdom in that process. Father, please be with the parents of our church and be with our entire church body as we undertake the responsibility of the Christian nurture of the covenant children that you briefly bless us with. We ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.